Welcome back to Arizona Edition on KAWC. I'm Lou Gum. Think about your struggle to keep up with the news this past couple of months. Lots of official press conferences on television, breaking news stories announcing the latest virus numbers, lots of talking heads sharing opinions live on radio and TV. Now take a step back. What if you couldn't reliably get this information? Not because it isn't available, just not to you. That's the challenge faced by many in the deaf and hard of hearing community. Inconsistent use of sign language interpreters makes it hard to follow a live press conference. Imperfect speech recognition technology misses and changes words in closed captioning. And lip readers? Well, try doing that through a mask. To find out more about the challenges to get consistent and reliable information from members of the deaf and hard of hearing community, I spoke with Sherry Collins, Executive Director for the Arizona Commission for the Deaf and Hard of Hearing. Collins is trying to raise awareness about these challenges. We spoke by phone, and if you're wondering how we managed to conduct a radio interview with a person with profound hearing loss, we'll keep listening. Doing some research on this topic ahead of our conversation, I learned actually quite a bit and was obviously struck by the fact that radio isn't probably the friendliest media source for the deaf and hard of hearing. We do have a website, and I've learned the importance of transcripts as a source of information. But I think as we learn more about the challenges of what we're calling the new normal, we're identifying barriers in our systems of communication for different communities like yours. So I felt it was really important to talk about. So again, I thank you for this opportunity.
Yes, thank you. And yeah, there's just little things that people don't think about. You know, when it comes to these challenges and that there's a barrier for our community. And that's why, you know, we want to reach out to the public. Just, you know, don't forget about our community with the hearing loss and those who are deaf and hard of hearing, including deafblind.
So if we could just begin really basically, how is it that we're speaking to you now? I know that we're using a service that was new to me called VRS. Is this a fairly typical way that the deaf and hard of hearing community might use the web or internet to communicate?
Actually, I'm using my mobile phone. I have an iPhone, and there is an app and you with a provider, and you are correct. I am using Video Relay Service, VRS, and what the feature that I'm using called Voice Carryover, which means that I see an interpreter on my phone. She's interpreting everything that you're saying, and you're hearing me speaking because I have a severe hearing loss, even though I can speak for myself. And I also can hear your voice connected to my hearing aid through a Bluetooth. Think about your regular phone conversation when you make a phone call on your cell phone. This is our mobile communication using telephone.
As I was researching, I learned that there are some challenges in terms of receiving information in the deaf and hard of hearing community, and I wonder if we could go through kind of what I learned a little bit, and you can address each of them and then add to it at the end, because I'm sure I'm going to miss something. But some people with hearing loss are lip readers, and it strikes me that as everyone wears masks, that is obviously a challenge.
That is a major challenge, and it's a concern because of, you know, from what I'm, you know, reading different sources, that, you know, this COVID-19 is not going to go away anytime soon, that we may have to continue wearing a mask. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, you know, we can't, but there's no clear mask, and it's so hard to understand. Yeah, even though I can hear some, but I can't, I have to read people's lips. And just like the other day, I went to the grocery store, I wore my mask, of course, but then the cashier wore a mask, and I had no idea what she was saying, and I certainly did not want to make her take her mask off because we were in the grocery store. So I could, and we managed, and, but it is it's a big challenge wearing a mask because, you know, if you don't want people to take the mask off, then you're going to have to use other communication, either pointing a picture or write notes back and forth so we can understand each other at the same time.
And this points out something that maybe people don't understand is that deaf and hard of hearing people, not all communicating with sign language, they're not all communicating in the exact same way.
Absolutely. For example, you know, you have different levels of hearing loss. And, you know, for me, I am profoundly deaf. So maybe you think I can hear pretty well. I do not. I'm profoundly deaf, and I heavily rely on, of course, I can communicate in sign language. And there are other people that, you know, they don't, you know, they don't use the voice, they don't speak, they depend on sign language, because that's their first native language, and that's their primary communication. And then, you know, you have some people that don't know sign language who are have a severe hearing loss. And so there's just various degree of hearing loss and of communication. So it's not like one size fits all communication in our community.
What are the rules about how information is presented, for example, on television? There are a lot of live broadcasts now, a lot of press conferences. Sometimes you'll see a sign language interpreter. Sometimes there's closed captioning, but sometimes there's not.
That is correct. And that is so important. And this is something that we've been talking and educating the general public. When you're using any type of media, it could be YouTube, online, any television, not to use automated speech recognition. It is not accurate. There's a lot of errors, and that's the source of information that we rely on. So can you imagine if, you know, you as a hearing person listening to all the distorted captioning in voice? You'd be confused with the information that you'd be hearing, how the caption comes across. So that's one thing that a lot of captioning that we're seeing is using automated speech recognition. The technology is not ready, it's not accurate yet. It is so important to have real-time captioners to actually do the captioning or add the edit captioning transcript. Needs to be added to that, because those who are deafblind can't read the captioning on the TV. They need to read the words in text.
And there are laws about, the rules about that, FCC rules, that, but they're different for live broadcasts. So in a pandemic, it's much more challenging.
Yes. During the pandemic, when it comes to press conferences, you will see many, not all, but most, especially the governor, he has an interpreter with his press conference in joint with the Department of Health. And you always see an interpreter, and they have captioning. But what happens is, you know, not just, that press conference, but in other press conferences, and I have seen when you upload a video on the website, it is not using captioning. It translates to it. It's using automated speech recognition, and that's something that people don't realize that is happening. And also for the interpreters, I wanted to emphasize is that when you can't have an interpreter in the studio in a TV station, for example, you know, we really want the broadcasters to consider adding a box on the screen, and so the interpreter can join remotely, and that is the challenge. Well, hopefully that we'll see more and more of broadcasters to be open-minded to consider adding captioning in a box, because it's really important that, you know, not just the captioning, but the interpreter should be on the screen on any general information that is, you know, being discussed, especially on the COVID-19.
That's I'm old enough to remember when that was fairly standard on TV. You'd see that little corner in the box when I was a kid. I remember seeing that a lot.
Yeah, you would think, that they would do that, especially when we have all of this, you know, great advanced technology. And, you know, the resources available, the interpreters are equipped, ready to work from home and to do all of these kind of services. And so, you know, they need jobs too, and they're ready, and we need access to information. So hopefully we'll see that improve.
So you mentioned, and I've seen that the governor provides an interpreter. I know here in Yuma County, at the press conferences I've seen from the city and the county have provided an interpreter. I've also noticed that the White House press conferences each day don't have an interpreter.
That is correct. And there's a national movement from the deaf community pleading the White House to have an interpreter on all of the president's press conference and briefings, and we have not seen any yet.
And Sherry, last question. I think what we're sort of getting at is that when people can't communicate, you know, we're talking a lot about how people are feeling isolated because we are isolated and they're struggling with that and uncertain. But when people can't communicate, that just adds to a stress.
You hit the nail on the head. That is, you know, we all have, you know, our stress, you know, and the anxiety, you know, level increase because you don't know all what's going on, especially at the beginning of when the news came out, you know, the stay at home and what does this mean? What's COVID-19? You know, how can you get it? So that we have worked really hard through our office to make sure the public in our community that we're providing accessible resources to them to understand, you know, the information. And on our website, we have a COVID-19 we have guidelines for healthcare providers to understand how to provide, you know, services for those who are deaf and hard of hearing, deaf blind. If they require to use telemedicine, we provided some guidelines to help to minimize the frustration and the stress. And, you know, there are some resources, solutions to provide healthcare services remotely. And, but the problem is that a lot of the healthcare providers are not prepared and not thinking about, well, what do I do to provide telemedicine? And I'm not talking about you, I'm just talking to you right now. Telemedicine is a different platform. And so we try hard to reach out to the communities to hopefully we can at least minimize the stress level and yet, you know, make sure they are receiving appropriate information.
And we'll happily provide links to those resources on our website, along with a transcript of this conversation. Sherry Collins, Executive Director for Arizona Commission for the Deaf and Hard of Hearing. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much for talking to you.